If you're visiting, we're looking at four P's for 2019. And we've just spent 4 weeks looking at the presence of God, and we're now looking at the second P, and the second P is prayer. But I just want to look ahead 3 weeks, okay, to the next P, and the next P is going to be prophetic. You've all been given a flyer this week. It says Love Swanage. And it's about a special weekend between the 7th and 10th of March. We've got the Kingdom Life School from the Lighthouse Church. And I was approached by Heather Reed of the Lighthouse Church in Lichtminster a few months ago. And they run a school called the Kingdom Life School. And part of the school is that they send out a mission. And they said, could we come to All Saints? And I said, that'd be absolutely great. So we're going to have this mission. It's going to be called Love Swanage. And we want to show the love of Jesus to the people of our town. And can I say that? I want this weekend has something for everyone to kind of dip into. There's some people here who have got plenty of experience of the prophetic and are totally up for it, and they'll be at absolutely everything. But others will be thinking, well, what is all this about? You know, I mean, what is this prophetic stuff about? And there's opportunities just to kind of dip our toes in the water. So just to tell you, on the back of the sheet, there's a list of all the things we're doing. It's going to be run by the guy at the bottom there, Alistair Gowdy. And he's a lovely, lovely man. And for various reasons, I can't be here for this weekend because I'm actually going to be in Indonesia, believe it or not. And when somebody comes to look after your church or speak at your church when you're away, sometimes you think, what's going to happen? But actually, I've met with Alistair, and he's an absolutely top bloke. He really is a really good guy. So I've got complete confidence in leaving him here and speaking to you all. And if you just have a look at the back of the flyer, I'll talk a bit more about it in the next few weeks, tell you a bit more about it. But have a look at the back of the flyer, and there's all sorts of really good stuff here. So do put that in your diaries and buy into some of it. That would be absolutely great. Okay, well, a very quick recap, which is that we're looking at prayer. And last week, Margaret, brilliantly, I thought, began to open up the Lord's Prayer for us. And so many people found it really, really helpful. She was looking at our Father, the fatherhood of God, and also his names. The names of God are very significant in Scripture, and they say something about who God is. Well, this week we're moving on to the next part of the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And first of all, I just wanted to share and amplify a little bit of what I said on the back of the notice sheet about my experience of praying the Lord's Prayer. And probably like you, I prayed this prayer probably most days of my Christian life. And I sat down and worked it out. I probably prayed this prayer between 10 and 20,000 times. Can you imagine that? But it wasn't until I'd been a Christian about 16 years that I began to realize what the Lord's Prayer was really all about. And I can remember exactly when it was. It was about the middle of 1991, and my life was at a crossroads. I was a solicitor working in a Bournemouth law firm, and I was not really enjoying it. In fact, I'd been overworking ridiculously, and I realized this had to stop. And I knew the importance of a daily time with God, but I'd been a Christian about 16 years, I was just no good at it. The daily quiet time, it was known then. I was just rubbish at it, you know. And so I wasn't praying and listening to God as I should be. The idea of sitting still and being quiet was, for me, utter torture. So I just couldn't do it. And my prayer life was an undisciplined mess. It was all over the place. And one thing I wasn't at all sure was, did I want to carry on practicing as a lawyer? Wasn't sure about that. It was increasingly unsatisfying to me. So I decided to go and see a friend of mine called John, who used to be the curate in my last church. He was by then a vicar in South Wales. And I said, you know, the kind of crossroads I was at. And he said, well, have you ever tried praying the Lord's Prayer? I said, well, yeah, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, I pray it kind of most days. He said, no, have you tried praying it properly? And he explained he'd recently come across a book. This book. Got it here, actually. It's called Learning the Joy of Prayer by a guy called Larry Lee. And the subtitle is How to Spend 1 Hour with God. Well, for me, the notion of spending an hour praying to God was just completely, you know, no chance. The book is now published under another title. It's Will You Not Tarry 1 Hour? That's the question that Jesus asked the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane when they nodded off to sleep. And Larry Lee explains in this book how to spend an hour with God. And I thought, you know, people who spend an hour with God are sort of spiritual superstars like Billy Graham or like, you know, John Wesley or somebody, not for the likes of me. And but in this book, Larry Lee takes you through and shows you how to spend an hour with God. And the first thing he says is that we're used to the Lord's Prayer being a set prayer that we kind of pray by rote. But actually, he says it's a method of prayer or a pattern of prayer. It's not just a set prayer that we pray by rote. And the proof of that really is Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Now, if you imagine, let's look around a kind of discipline here. Oh, look, okay, so Lionel, okay, so you're an engineer, all right? So if I said to you, could you teach me the principles of engineering? You wouldn't say, okay, recite after me. You'd say, no, this is how you do it. You teach me the principles. You wouldn't give me things to remember and recite parrot fashion. See, so when Jesus' disciples come up to him and say, well, how do you pray? He doesn't give them something just to repeat. He gives them the principles. He gives them the structure, the underlying ideas. So, but what we've done very often is we turn this prayer into a prayer that we pray like by rote. And there's nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer like this, but we need to look at the underlying principles. And John took me through the principles of praying that Jesus expounds in this prayer, and it was astonishing. It was astonishing. And I came home and I started praying the Lord's Prayer like never before. And the headers are all in the prayer. They're all on the little cards. There's some. If you didn't pick one up last week, we've got some little prayer cards prepared by, produced by Cell UK. And these give the headers, which are basically as per the prayer and as per the book. So, so if you'd like one, do pick one up on the way out. So what I started to do was I lived in Wimborne in Dorset. I used to drive into Bournemouth every day to my office. But before I would do that, I would drive in about sort of 7 o'clock in the morning. About 7:15, I was in Bournemouth. And I would, instead of going to the office and starting work, I went to the East Cliff and I used to park the car and I used to walk down the zigzag path and I used to walk up the, I used to go east towards Boscombe Pier. And I walked for half an hour, and then the alarm on my watch bleeped after 30 minutes, and I just turned around and walked back again. And so by the time I'd gone down there and come back again, I'd done an hour. And all the time, what I would be doing is praying the Lord's Prayer, following the structure which Jesus sets out and which Larry Lee sets out in his book. And the result was truly astonishing because suddenly prayer made sense. And I suppose that's no big surprise because Jesus was the best prayer ever. So the pattern of prayer that he had and that he encouraged us to do is bound to be the best. And although I've been a Christian 16 years, as I say, I'd never found prayer easy, but I just suddenly discovered a whole new direction in my prayer life, and the hour just flew by. It was astonishing. So, look, first of all, I'd say, give it a go. You know, we've got a lovely beach like this to walk alongside here, you know? Just give it a go. Take the little card and give it a try. So, last week, we heard about praying to the Father. We've heard about his names, the different names of that God has. So now we've got to the point where Jesus says to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done. And just a quick reminder, as I've said many times in this church before, when the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, it doesn't mean a place or a system of government or a geographical area. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he means the rule or reign of God. That's what the Bible means, the rule or reign of God. For example, Psalm 145, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures through all generations. So we're talking about the rule or reign of God. So what does that mean in practice? It means the power of God dynamically breaking into people's lives and changing them. And asking for the kingdom of God to come in various parts of our lives. My life, the life of my family, the life of my community, my nation, the whole world, asking God's kingdom to break in, asking for it to be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Spirit, asking for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the rule or reign of God to impact us on every level. And we know that Jesus knew all about the will of God. He says, I tell you, John 5:19, the Son could do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So he knows about the will and reign of God. Can you see? And he speaks powerfully the words of the Father. I do not speak on my own, he says in John 12, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. So can you see how Jesus only speaks and acts in the will of God? And he says we can act and speak in the power of the Holy Spirit just as Jesus did. In fact, he says when things are really tough, when things are really difficult, that's where the Holy Spirit turns up. We had this in the reading. On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings and other people in authority as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. When they arrest you, don't worry about what they say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit, your Father, speaking through you. So we know, Jesus says, I'm going to be with you always to the very end of the age, and the Holy Spirit will come upon us and give us the words to say. And you know, he says an extraordinary thing. He says, the kingdom of God is ours. The kingdom of God is ours. Listen, look at this. Do not be afraid, little flock, he says in Luke 12. The Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. All authority in heaven and earth is mine, says Jesus, and I'm going to be with you always. But we need to pray it in. We need to pray the kingdom of God, the rule or reign of God in. He wants to see the kingdom, his reign, everywhere, all the time. But we know that there's a kind of now and not yet quality about the kingdom of God, isn't there? The now is, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is among you. But not everybody responds in the way. We don't all the time in our own lives respond to Jesus the way we should do. So although he longs for his reign and his rule and his righteousness to be over the whole world, it doesn't always happen. We need to pray it in. So how do we do it? Well, first of all, praying it, we need to pray it emphatically. Emphatically. When Jesus prayed, he didn't pussyfoot around. He wrestled in prayer. He prayed like it really means something. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I know Graham will be and David will be. And correct me if I'm wrong, usually in New Testament Greek, the verb comes at the beginning or near the beginning of the sentence. That's right, yeah? And so the normal word order, okay, we're used to the phrase this, your kingdom come, your will be done. That seems kind of passive, doesn't it? Okay? But actually, if you transliterate it, it says this, come, kingdom of God, be done, will of God. Can you see how emphatic that is? Much more emphatic. So, how do we pray? We pray expecting God to move, and we pray in a dynamic way, because Jesus encourages us to pray in a dynamic way. So how would we do it? Well, look, the way I prefer to do this, and I think seems to make much most sense to me, is to pray in a series of concentric circles, asking the kingdom of God to come in wider and wider and wider areas of activity. Let me explain what I mean. Okay, so first of all, my own walk with God. My own walk with God. Asking the kingdom of God, the rule or reign of God, to come in my life. In my walk with God, especially for my day. I bring my day before him. I pray through the things I'm going to do that day. So, say, kingdom of God, come in that meeting. Come in that responsibility, that talk I've got to give, whatever I've got to do. Ask God to come. Okay? And can you see that when, particularly when I started doing this, about 20 years ago, I suppose, 25 years ago, when I started doing this, and I was uncertain about whether I was meant to be a lawyer at all or how God was involved in my professional life, to say, kingdom of God, come in that meeting, help me with this case, that difficult hearing I've got. Can you see? It makes such a difference to know God's will in the minutiae, in the little things that you do. It's really, really important. to include God in my day and what I was doing gives a whole new sense of purpose to it. And then you might have some issues, you might have some struggles, you might have some temptations, you might have some questions you need some wisdom on. Ask God, kingdom of God, come in that decision. Do I move house? Do I change job? You know, do I contact that person? You can ask God to involve himself in what you're doing day by day by day. Then let's just go out a little bit further, okay, to my family, my friends, and my church, okay? So I pray for Anne, my wife, okay? I pray for her work, her issues in her life, asking for God's rule to come in here. And then for my children, and for a lot of people here have got grandchildren. I didn't have any grandchildren in those days. When I began this, my children were 4 and 6. They're now in their early 30s. I pray for them day by day by day to marry Christian spouses, okay? At the age of 4 and 6, they have grown up and married Christian spouses. But I think their walking with God is, and I know not everyone has this experience, but I'm so glad I pray for them, and I pray for Emily and Matthias, their spouses, back then, before they even knew them. Extraordinary. And then I pray for my close friends, those going through struggles, those needing healing, those going through trials and difficulties. And I also pray for my church. I wasn't a church leader in those days, of course. But I pray for my church leaders, for my vicar and my home group leader and so on. And then move out a little bit further for my community, for the kingdom of God to come in our community. You know, that's why our All Saints vision is really helpful, okay? Our All Saints vision to see the kingdom of God come in power through the transformation of our community. See? And that's exactly, it's taken straight from this line of the Lord's Prayer. So, we need to pray for our community day by day by day for the Holy Spirit to come in, impact our town and impact our community. And that's why also the little, have I got it here? Yeah, here we are. The community prayer calendar is really useful. So we can pray for our community day by day. Okay, this week we're praying for Beesom, for the Friedman, Paul and Davina Friedman, and for Beesom. Okay, so we've done self, church, family, community, nation, the nation, its leaders, the national church leaders. My goodness, isn't the government in a mess? Whichever way you look at it, whether you voted in or out, it's an absolute shambles, isn't it? Okay, they need our prayers. The Archbishop of Canterbury has said, please pray for the politicians. So pray for the government, pray for the Prime Minister, pray for the national church, pray for Justin Welby. He sure needs our prayers. Church of England really needs our prayers, okay? For the bishops, pray for the Queen. Amazing to have a Queen who actually believes in God, you know? Not all our monarchs have had that kind of, you know, have that kind of approach. She really needs our prayers. Pray for Prince Charles. Pray for Prince William. They're going to be sitting on the thrones in years to come. Pray for them. Pray for them. And then, pray for the world, its leaders, the worldwide church. You know, like him or loathe him. I mean, I sometimes think of Donald Trump and I think, goodness gracious me, he's not quite the man I really want to see with his finger on the nuclear trigger. Please pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for King Jong-un. Pray for, you know, all these people. They need our prayers. Pray for the war in Yemen. Pray for the Arab world. Pray for the persecuted church. Okay? Pray for Anna in Beirut. Okay? Because, you know, we need to be praying for the kingdom of God to come in all these areas, for his will to be done. We don't want to pray apologetically or half-heartedly. We need to pray positively and emphatically. Look, you know, most of the time, we know what God's will is. It's flipping obvious. You just need to pick up the Bible. It's really, really clear. Just to apply the words of Scripture to what we see going on. We know the good stuff and we know the bad stuff. We need to bless the good stuff and we need to pray against the bad stuff. Okay, the Lord wants his kingdom to come, and he's given us a purpose and a role in praying it in. So, what we're going to do now is we're going to have a go.